Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. This is Abdul Nasser Jengda and you're listening to the Qalam podcast. Qalam is an organization dedicated to making Islamic knowledge accessible for everyone. Alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan is a very beautiful and powerful opportunity for learning and spiritual growth in the life of a Muslim. Therefore, Qalam has put together amazing resources for you and your family, your community to benefit from in the month of Ramadan, from a webinar on how to prepare to recitation of the entire Quran, the meaning and the message of the whole Quran, the du'as from the Quran, special webinars and events in regards to the Battle of Badr, the last 10 nights and Laylatul Qadr, and so much more. We're very excited and happy to bring you all of this Ramadan programming. Be a part of the good work that we are doing at Qalam, educating Muslims, educating people all around the world by going to supportqalam.com. Donate, contribute, give generously, and have your share in the Sadaqa Jariya and the amazing work that is going on. Supportqalam, QALAM.com. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa sirri amri wa hlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbi zidni ilma, Rabbi zidni ilma, Rabbi zidni ilma. Today we are going to be covering, inshallah, the 8th juz in the Quran. And today is our eighth day of covering the different juz from the message of the Quran. So today, inshallah, this particular program is brought to you by HHRD. HHRD, or Helping Hand, has been a trusted partner for Qalam for many years. They've served people in need around the globe since 2005 with a focus on international relief and development. Since its inception, they have assisted millions in need with emergency aid and have lifted thousands out of poverty with their long-term assistance programs. This Ramadan, HHRD, Helping Hand, is focusing on continuing its fight to eradicate hunger across the world with the Share Your Plate campaign. To learn more, visit hhrd.org/qalam. That is hhrd.org/QALAM. So inshallah, today, inshallah, we're going to be talking about the 8th juz. The 8th juz starts with Surah Al-An'am, verse number 111, and it ends at number 7, which is Surah Al-A'raf, verse number 87. And there are so many different gems and so many different things that are jam-packed within this particular juz that we're going to go through and we're going to cover, inshallah. The very first thing that we're going to cover and we're going to talk about is we're going to do a little bit of a quick overview of Surah Al-An'am. And that quick overview of Surah Al-An'am, kind of based off of what Ustaz Sahib went over yesterday, is that Surah Al-An'am, it talks about Tawheed, it greatly emphasizes Tawheed, and it contains the basic principles that we should follow. It gives a very beautiful description of, you know, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power, and it also allows for us, it also helps us to be able to understand and realize, you know, the criticisms of shirk and why it's so bad. And so in this understanding, in this particular way, we are learning about Surah Al-An'am and the different things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings forth. In Surah Al-A'raf, the basic theme of Surah Al-A'raf is actually the risala, the message of the Prophet, the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah's message that he sent through the Prophet, through the messengers. And you'll see that in Surah Al-A'raf, a good number of different messengers, a good number of the different prophets are brought up. And their stories are told about, and it's serves as a sense of reconciliation to the Prophet and letting him know, like, listen, these are the things that happened to these people. These are the things that happened to, you know, the previous prophets that came before you. And this is how they dealt with the different situations that occurred in that time. So we're going to jump right into the end of Surah Al-An'am because we don't have too much time. So inshallah, we'll jump right into the end of Surah Al-An'am and talk about some of the beautiful verses that are there. In verse number 124, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَإِذَا جَاءَتْهُمْ آيَةٌ, when a revelation is brought to them, قَالُوا, then they say, لَن نُؤْمِنَ حَتَّى نُؤْتَى مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, that we will not believe in it. We're not going to believe in this message that's being brought to us. We're not going to believe in, you know, what this message is bringing to us. We won't believe in it until we ourselves are giving a revelation as God's messengers were, okay? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalata, that Allah knows best, God knows best where to place his messages. So you see, الَّذِينَ أَجْرَمُوا صَغَارُوا إِنَّ اللَّهِ وَعَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ بِمَا كَانُوا يَمْكُرُونَ, and that you will see that those who are evil and they're scheming, that they will befall a very painful punishment or evil punishment and severe torment from Allah. And what we learn in this very first verse, well, it's not the first verse in Surah Al-An'am, but in the first verse we're covering here in this eighth juz, is that the prophethood or messengership is not done by accident. You know, it's not something that someone can just come and sign up for. It's not, you know, there's not like a little sign up sheet at the masjid, hey, I want to be a messenger. No. It's something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose each and every single messenger and each and every single prophet by his divine wisdom. And it's not something that, you know, human beings have a control over. No, and that's why you see when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is introducing himself to prophets, those are some of the most powerful verses in the Quran. There are some of the most powerful introductions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Musa alayhi salam, wa ana ikhtartuka, I specifically chose you, you know, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells, you know, when the Prophet gets revelation, he's in God Hira, the cave of Hira. And what happens? Jibril alayhi salam is telling him Iqra three times. And then the Prophet, he gets revelation and he goes to Khadija radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he's terrified and he's scared, and she lets him know, listen, your God has not forsaken you. And then he goes to Waraka bin Nawfal, and he's told, you're a prophet. This is the same thing that happened to Musa. It's the same thing that happened to Ibrahim. It's the same thing that happened to the prophets that came before you. And so this shows that it wasn't something that someone chose, that rather they are chosen for. That messengership and risala, that bringing the message to people, is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chooses his prophets. In verse number 151, through verses number 151 through 153, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the Ten Commandments. And these verses, it comes after a little bit of a passage where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about people who are basically the ignorances of human beings. They're very ignorant towards certain things. And so in those previous passages, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala presents their ignorances. And here at the end of it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now gives us the Ten Commandments. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ تَعَالَوْ أَتْلُ مَا حَرَّمَ رَبُّكُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ. He says, say, come and I will tell you what your Lord has forbidden for you. These are all the things that Allah, these are 10 things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us to stay away from. These are the 10 things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked us not to do. Number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah tushriku bihi shay'a. Don't associate partners with him in any type of way. Don't. And when we talk about associated partners, how do we take that in as believers? How do we understand it as people who believe? Well, the first thing is that we are not to put things before Allah. We are not to put things before our relationship with Allah. Our relationship with Allah is the most important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most important in our life. And so if there's something that comes up that compromises our relationship with Allah, that goes away from what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us to do, then we are to stay away from that. You know, we don't, you don't compromise when it comes to your relationship with Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, one, Allah tushriku bihi shay'an, that you don't associate or ascribe any part, anything as a partner to him. The second, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and you do right and good unto your parents. And it's so beautiful because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's not giving us, you know, a particular way. He doesn't say you have to do X, Y, and Z in order for you to be considered to be doing right by your parents. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, you do good unto them. You analyze, you take your relationship with your parents and you treat them rightly. You treat them in the way that they're supposed to be treated. And you see here that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala later on in the different part of the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us what wahfid lahuma janaha dhulli, that we are to lower the wings of humility to our parents, that we are to lower the wings of, you know, mercy to our parents. We are to be merciful to our parents. So that's the second. The third commandment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us, he says, وَلَا تَقُتُلُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ مِنْ إِمْلَاقٍ, do not kill your children out of fear of poverty, out of fear of being poor. That, okay, if I have too many kids, then I'll be poor. Don't do that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, نَحْنُ نَرُزُقُكُمْ وَإِيَّاهُمْ, know that they come with their own provisions. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we will provide for you and for them. That this is, the provisions come from Allah. The next is that وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا فَوَاحِشَ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ, and don't do things that are lewd. Don't do, you know, things that are, don't do bad acts. Don't do things that are shameful. And these shameful acts, what happens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't do them openly and then don't do them privately either. Because these shameful acts, what they do is they pollute our heart. They pollute our relationship with us in Allah. They pollute our worship. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, don't do acts that are shameful. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues on. And he says, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا النَّفْسَ الَّتِي حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ, and don't kill us, don't kill someone unjustly. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, do not take a life that God has made sacred except by right. Do not kill someone unjustly. ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded of you. Perhaps you will use your reason. Perhaps you will use your intellect and sit down and reflect on these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us don't do. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us commands and he's telling us to do something or to stay away from something, it's not for the sake of just, you know, being fluffy or just saying whatever. It's actually for a purpose. And so that's why you see so many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say in the Quran, أَفَلَا تَدَبَّرُونَ, أَفَلَا تَدَبَّرُونَ, do you not reflect? Okay, or here we have where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَعْقِلُونَ, that maybe you'll use your intellect to reflect on what God has saying. The next set of commandments, he says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا مَالَ الْيَتِيمَ إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ, do not approach the, do not take the wealth of the orphans. You know, the orphans are already in a particular situation. They're already, you know, in a situation where they don't have support. So you should not be taking their wealth from them. Unless you're putting it away from them, إِلَّا بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنَ حَتَّى يَبُلُغَ أَشُدَّ, unless you're putting it away for them so that when they reach the age of maturity, that they can do right by their wealth, they can do right by their inheritance, then that's fine because you're putting it away for them. But don't take the wealth of the orphans. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَوْفُوا الْكَيْلَ وَالْمِيزَانَ بِالْقِسْطِ, and that whenever you weigh out or measure or give, you give and you measure, you do it properly. You do it justly. Okay? La nukallifu nafsan illa wus'aha, that we don't, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, we don't place a burden on someone greater than they can bear. Wa idha qultum fa'dilu walau kana dha qurba, and whenever you speak or you witness something or you're speaking about something, then one should do so in the way, then one should do so in a way that is just, even if they're speaking unconcerned to their relatives. You know, you should always be truthful. You should always be just. There is never a time that you should be unjust. And that is what our deen calls us to. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبِالْعَهْدِ اللَّهِ أَوْفُ. And you uphold the covenant and the promise of Allah. You uphold that covenant that you have with Allah. And upholding the covenant that you have with Allah is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathered all of the souls and he said, أَلَسْتُ بِرَبِّكُمْ, am I not your Lord? And we all replied and we said, Bala, yes, you are. You know, we said that. And so that covenant that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that we should uphold is upholding the worship of Allah, that we should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَذَكَّرُونَ. And this is what has been commanded of you. Maybe, perhaps, you will take some type of heed. You will be aware of it. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the last commandment is وَأَنَّ صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ. And this is my straight path, so follow it. This, we are to be on the straight path of Allah and follow the straight path of Allah. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا سُبُلًا فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَن سَبِيلِي. And we should not follow other paths that will take us away or lead us away from the path of Allah. ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. This is what has been commanded of you. Maybe now you will be God conscious. May taqtaqun, you will have some God consciousness. You will stay away from wrongdoing. So the Ten Commandments, just to kind of bring it all together, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us here, is that first thing he says is don't ascribe partners with Allah. That you're not putting things before your relationship with God. You're not putting people or things before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, that you do good unto your parents. Number three, that you don't kill your children out of fear of poverty. Number four, that you stay away from actions that are lewd or shameful acts. Number five, that you don't kill someone unjustly. Number six, not taking the property of orphans. Number seven, that when you give fair measures and weights. Number eight is that you are not unjust in your witnessing, in your speech, in your judgment. Number nine is that we fulfill the covenant of Allah. And number 10 is that we are on the straight path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what's so beautiful about these 10 commandments is that sometimes when we're thinking about religiosity, or we're thinking about, you know, being a person who's considered to be religious or whatever the case may be, we only think about the acts of ibadah that are like praying and fasting. Right? We don't think about how actually part of being a person who has a proper relationship with Allah, part of being a person who's fulfilling the proper covenant of Allah, who is actually truly following their deen, is also that they are kind to others, that they do right unto other people, that we uphold our relationships, that we are, you know, good to people as well. That part we have, there's the rights of Allah, and then there's the rights of the slaves of Allah. And we are to fulfill both. Okay. Last but not least, in Surah An'am, we're going to talk about verse number 160. In verse number 160, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, مَنْ جَاءَ بِحَسَنَةٍ فَلَهُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا. Whoever comes on the day of judgment with one single good deed, then for that person, they will have 10 times the like of it. وَمَنْ جَاءَ بِسَيِّئَةِ, and whoever comes on the day of judgment with one single bad deed, فَلَا يُجْزَى إِلَّا مِثْلَهَا, that they won't be recompensed or rewarded or treated for that person, they will be compensated exactly what they have done. وَهُمْ لَا يُظْلَمُونَ, and nobody will be wronged in the least bit. And what this ayah shows us is that there's countless times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us and shows us, listen, as long as you make a little bit of effort, recognize that love, that you will always get more out of it. As long as you show up, you will always get more out of it. You're always going to get more out of doing good. And there's many a hadith that talks about this. There's a hadith Qudsi. Well, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Prophet says, Yaqulullahu azzawja, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Man ja'a bihasanatin, whoever comes with one single good deed, falahu ashru amthaliha, that person will get 10 reward in 10 reward for that one good deed. Wa azidu, or Allah says, or I will increase you. Wa man ja'a bisayyati, but whoever comes with a bad deed, فَجَزَاؤُهُ سَيِّئَةٌ, that person will just be, you know, that person will just be written down for that one bad deed that they did. سَيِّئَةٌ مِثْلُهُ أَوْ أَغْفِرُ, or Allah will forgive them. وَمَنْ تَكَرَّبَ مِنِّي شِبْرًا تَكَرَّبْتُ مِنْهُ ذِرَاعًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and whoever draws close to him, whoever draws close to me by the length of a hand, I will draw close to him by the length of an arm. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ تَقَرَّبَ مِنِّي ذِرَاعًا, and whoever draws close to me by the length of an arm, تَقَرَّبْتُ مِنْهُ بَاعًا, that I will draw close to that person by the length of, you know, the whole like forearm, basically. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَتَانِي يَمْشِي, whoever comes to Allah walking, okay, whoever comes to Allah walking, أَتَيْتُهُ حَرْوَلَةً, that I will come to that person, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will come to that person running. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ لَكِيَنِي بِكُرَابِ الْأَرْضِ خَطِيئَةً لَا يُشْرِكُ بِشَيْئًا لَقِيتُهُ بِمِثْلِهَا مَغْفِرَةً. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, whoever meets me with enough sins to fill the entire earth with, but does not associate partners with me, then for that person, I will meet them with forgiveness. Every time we show up in our relationship with Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us so much more. And that is so important for us to keep in mind. Because when we do our deeds, when we are trying our best with our relationship with Allah, sometimes we may feel like, are we doing enough? Am I getting it? Or am I making dua right? Am I praying right? These are your effort that you're putting in, it doesn't go unnoticed in the eyes of Allah. Now we're going to hop on to Surah Al-A'raf. In Surah Al-A'raf, there are a couple of themes within the entire surah. There's a theme of the hereafter. There is messengership and prophethood. There's also talking about the past prophets and their communities, and then the reward for good deeds and the punishment for those who do wrong, for the wrongdoings. So in verse number 8 through 9, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the scale. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 8 in Surah Al-A'raf, وَالْوَزْنُ يَوْمَ إِذٍ الْحَقُّ, know that the scale on the day of judgment is a reality. It is true. It will happen. فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. And whoever comes and their scale is heavy. And here, when someone in the Quran, when it talks about a scale being heavy, it's talking about with good deeds. So whoever comes and their scale is heavy, then they are the ones who are muflihun, they're successful. They are the ones who are prosperous, they are successful. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ خَفَّتْ مَوَازِينُهُ, but whoever comes and their scale is light, فَأُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا, that they are the ones who have a loss. And it's not just loss like I lost, but they live in regret. They're the ones who, on the day of judgment, they realize that their scale is not working out. And they ask Allah, can I go back to that life? Can I try again? They live in this sense of regret. أَنفُسَهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يَظْلَمُونَ. And they're so regretful because of their wrongful rejection of the message. Their wrongful rejection of the message that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has presented. Allah gives each and every single one of us a chance to be great. We just have to take the opportunity. The opportunity is right there. We just have to not even open the door. We just have to take it. We just have to take it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, listen, there are so many acts, so many things that make your scale heavy. That will make your scale heavy on the day of judgment. That guess what? They take nothing from you in this world. The first thing is La ilaha illallah. And the Prophet ﷺ talks about the weight of La ilaha illallah. Now there is nothing that weighs heavier than La ilaha illallah. There is no God worthy of worship except for Allah. Believing that in your heart and acting upon that with your actions. And then the Prophet ﷺ also says that there is a thing that you can say that is heavy on the scales, but very light on your tongue. Two things you can say that are heavy on the scale, but very light on your tongue. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim. That we should constantly be moving our tongues in the remembrance of Allah. That is how you get your scale to be heavy. That is how you get your deeds, your good deeds going. that you're doing good actions, you're doing right by people, you're praying your salah, and you're keeping your tongue engaged with the remembrance of Allah. The next thing that, the next verse we're going to go through is verse number 31. In verse number 31, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Bani Adam, خُدُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَشْرِدٍ وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O children of Adam, dress well whenever you are at worship, okay? Or whenever you go to the masjid, whenever you are at worship, and eat and drink as we have permitted, but do not be extravagant, do not be wasteful. God does not like those who are extravagant. And what we're learning here is that it's a part of our religion, it's a part of our deen to look nice. It is a part of our deen to go to the masjid, dress nicely, that you go for your salah and you dress appropriately, you dress nicely. And this comes as a clarification to the believers on how they're supposed to be when it comes to going to the masjid and doing tawaf around the Kaaba. And the reason why is that the way that they used to do tawaf around the Kaaba before is that they used to do tawaf around the Kaaba without any clothes on. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, the proper way to have reverence of the house of Allah, the proper way to put the house of, to have reverence of the house of Allah, the proper way to show your respect to the house of Allah is by dressing nicely. It's by wearing very beautiful clothing. That is how you have that proper respect for the house of Allah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wala tusrifu, and don't be like excessive. This is, excessiveness is not good. Don't be excessive. That's why we're called Ummatul Wusta. We're the ummah that is in the middle. You know, it's good to be in the middle. Don't be excessive. In verses number 42 through 43, the last section that we're going to go through, these verses are very powerful. And they show the reward of those who strive in this world. You know, earlier in the session, we talked about just showing up. As long as you show up, listen, you won't lose. As long as you show up in your relationship with Allah, you will not lose, right? So these verses show us what is the reward of just showing up as a believer. What is the reward of saying La ilaha illallah and actually just putting in as much effort as you possibly can, and that's it. And that reward, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and as for those who they believe, وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they do good deeds. And what's beautiful is that good deeds is so vast. There are so many different good deeds that you can do. There's so many different things that the Prophet ﷺ tells us, listen, this is virtuous. Being good to your family, it's virtuous. You know, smiling is charity. Giving actual monetary value is charity. You know, removing something from the road that may be harmful, that is a good deed. Being good to your neighbors, that is a good deed. Doing things that we actually have to do, like praying, you know, that is a good deed. So doing good acts of worship, doing good deeds, they're vast. Holding the door open for someone, cooking iftar for someone, being kind, talking nicely, you know, playing with children. These are all good deeds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, as for those who believe, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and they do good deeds, لَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا, we do not burden any soul with more than they can bear. And what's beautiful is that this is showing that, listen, it is within your capacity to be good. Everybody has the ability to be good. It's not a burden. Religion, deen is not a burden. There are so many concessions that are given if you are not able to do something. If you are sick and you cannot stand up and pray, you can sit down. If you cannot sit down, you can lay down. If you cannot move your arms while laying down, you can pray with your eyes. If you are traveling, you can shorten your prayers. You know, if you are not well, you can not fast. There are so many concessions that are given so that it is always within someone's ability to do good. It is always within someone's ability to worship Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَا نُكَلِّفُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا, that we don't burden any soul greater than what they can bear. أولئك أصحاب الجنة, that these are the people, that they are the inhabitants of Jannah. They are the companions of Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ, that they will remain there forever. وَنَزَّعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهِمُ الْأَنْهَارِ, that they, all of the hardships and the pain and the difficulty that they have experienced, that all of that will be removed from their heart. Any type of ill feeling that they had, any type of hardship that they endured, anything painful, anything unpleasant, all of that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it will be removed from their heart. تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهِمُ الْأَنْهَارِ, that beneath them there will be streams with river, that rivers that will flow at their feet. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَالُوا, and their response to all of this is, أَلْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي, all praise and thanks is due to the one, هَدَانَا لِهَذَا, who guided us to this, who brought us to this religion. وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِي لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَا اللَّهِ, and we wouldn't have been guided had we not found, had we had never been given this way, had we had never been guided in this path. And it's so powerful because what? You know, when you do something good, you usually are like, yeah, I did that. And you give yourself a pat on the back. And you want to tell everyone, I did this, I did this, I did this. I'm so accomplished. I did all of these things. But look at the humility of those who enter into Jannah. That they don't say, oh, look, we've entered by our own goodwill. Oh, look, we've entered by our own deeds. No. What do they say? They say, Alhamdulillah alladhi. They first give praise and thanks to Allah. And this is something we need to practice in our everyday life. That when good things come to us and good things happen to us, the first thing that you should do is say, Alhamdulillah. And that good can be as something as simple as waking up, that you say, Alhamdulillah. And so these inhabitants of Jannah, they say, Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana lihada. All praise and thanks is due to Allah, the one who guided us to this. وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِي لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ, that we would have continued to be lost if God did not guide us. لَقَدَ جَاءَتْ رُسُلُ رَبِّنَا بِالْحَقِّ, and a messenger came to us from our Lord. A messenger from our Lord came to us with the truth. Okay? وَنُودُ أَنْتِلْكُمُ الْجَنَّةِ وَأُورِثْ أُورِثْتُمُوهَا بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and a voice will call out to them. And that voice will say to them, this is the garden that you have been given as an account on your own deeds. We know that you enter into paradise by what? The mercy of Allah. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy is what enters us into paradise. In this last section in Surah Al-A'raf, which is the seventh chapter in the Quran, there's a conversation that the people of Jannah have with the people of Hellfire. And we won't go through the whole conversation because we're out of time here. But this very first part is the part that I want to focus on. In this first part, it says, وَنَادَى أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ أَصْحَابَ النَّارِ, that the people of Jannah, they will cry out to the people of the fire. أَنْ كَدَ وَجَدْنَا مَا وَعَدْنَا رَبُّنَا حَقًّا, we have found that the promise that our Lord has made to us to be true. You do good deeds, you believe, you do good deeds, you turn back to Allah, and you will get Jannah out of Allah's mercy. We found that what we've been told, that you worship Allah, you do good deeds, you turn to Allah, you will go to Jannah, has been true. And then they asked the question. They said, فَهَلْ وَجَدْتُمْ مَا وَعَدَ رَبُّكُمْ حَقًّا, have you found the promise of your Lord to be true? قَالُوا, and the people of Hellfire, they reply and they will say, نَعَمْ, yes. فَأَذَّنَ مُؤَذِّنٌ بَيْنَهُمْ أَنْ لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ, that then a voice will proclaim from their midst, and it will say that God's rejection hangs over those who are evil, the wrongdoers, those who cross people's boundaries. الَّذِينَ يَصُدُّونَ عَنْ سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, the ones who turned others away from the path of Allah. Not only did they turn away from the path of Allah, but they also went out their way to turn others from the path of Allah. وَيَبَغُونَهَا إِوَجًا, and they tried to make it crooked. They tried to make the path of Allah crooked. وَهُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ كَافِرُونَ And those who denied the hereafter. That these are all the stories of the messengers when their prophets came, of the people of the different messengers, when the prophets came to them and they said, you're going to answer for your deeds. And what happened? What did they say? They said, we don't believe in that. How can God resurrect us? You mean we'll be like this dust? And then when the day of judgment comes, we're gonna all of our bones be gonna be put back together. This is about the people who call the messengers crazy, that they were Majnun, that they were crazy. This is about the people who denied the hereafter, and they would say things like, "Oh, your Lord is gonna bring a punishment. Tell him to bring it right now." That this is the question that the Ahl of Jannah are asking them. Did you find the promise of your Lord to be true? And so the whole thing goes on, and the conversation between the people of heaven and hell goes on. But something that we are to all take from today's, you know, Juz 8 is recognizing the promises of Allah. And by recognizing the promises of Allah, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not command us of much, that rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us to worship Him, He asks us to do right by people, and He asks us to be steadfast in our worship. And steadfastness in our worship means that we are constantly trying and showing up in our relationship with Allah. And as long as we're constantly trying and we're showing up in our relationship with Allah, we will always get more out of it. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always multiply our deeds by more. He will always give us more. And inshallah, we will be able to go on the day of judgment with a heavy scale. That we will be able to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite mercy, He will enter us into Jannah. So these two surahs, Surah An'am and Surah A'raf, these are the two surahs that are part of the 8th Juz. They are both Mecki surahs. And I'm happy that we were able to cover that today. I pray that we are able to benefit from everything that we heard here today. And like always, please do not forget to support Qalam so that we're able to continue to educate different students and different people around the United States and be able to send them off to different communities. And so that we can still be able to provide different programs just like the one we had here today. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.